Bonsoir, bonsoir, everyone. Yes, another episode, because just like I said, there's just too much to discuss, I'm afraid. There's just too much to say. And I'm just at the point where it's very exciting to be able to cover so many topics. And if I'm being honest, being able to talk without having to... Not having to, because I love engaging, as you lot know. I reply to so many comments in every way. And I'm on Discord talking to everyone every day. But having a platform where it feels a bit more one way, you feel a bit freer to say what you need to say, because I can't help but engage, even though I am engaging in the Spotify comments. Please rate and comment. Please rate and comment the podcast, especially the Apple Music people. Oh my God, you lot aren't rating shit. The Spotify people, yes, let's go. It's got like 55 ratings, I think, Apple Music or podcast. 4. That's crazy. Okay, yes. Do I need to introduce myself? No, my name's on a fucking title. Actually, now that I think of it, if you don't know who I am. Anyway, today I want to discuss music. Let's the people come together. Yeah. You know, I want to touch on Afrobeats / Amapiano influences in K-pop. Now, I will start with the obvious. Is there an issue of cultural appropriation? And what does that mean when people make music that is not of their origin, but isn't always necessarily made by people of that origin? Some of the examples I've not double checked all of them, do have black producers in there. Some of them do not. And how you feel about that, I think, is your personal prerogative. Because I maybe have reached a point where I'm like, you know what? I'm tired. And on top of that, whether I'm involved or not, people are going to do what they're going to do. So if you can't beat them, join them. And if the music slaps, I'm sorry. If the music slaps, I'm going to listen to it. I'm going to listen to it. And I don't care, because it's not fair. Because at the end of the day, we live in a world where now, because of TikTok and because of the internet, everything has flattened in terms of reach. We're all on the same level. Now, I can reach someone in Croatia, in Australia, in Tokyo, in Botswana. We can reach people so instantly. How can we have that and not also bear the consequence of now what should be culturally personal and private to you is also now accessible to everyone if they like it? And unfortunately, it has always been a one-way road of benefit. When black people do it, it's ghetto, or it's tacky, or it's this. But then when it's been appropriated by white people or East Asian people, especially since they're, you know, lighter, then it's like, oh, this eats now. And I think the reason why also I can engage with this music is because no part of me likes it because it's Korean. I like it. It just happens to be Korean. If someone black did it, I would still eat it up the same way. I still listen to Afrobeats. I still listen to whatever. Like, me and Fireboy DML, his music is literally, like, he's my favorite. And I do have an issue. I would say that I do have an issue with people who specifically like it because it's Korean. That's when you fuck up for me. Because it's the same with the R&B that we hear. The R&B eats. But then again, I always think if a black group was doing this, I would love it as well. Maybe even more, because they would have the freedom and the Western ego that comes with that. Now I'm really going on a tangent. But it also goes into the fact of why people like K-pop or not. And for the same reason why people don't like it, people might think it's too manufactured, it's soulless, is this. I've heard all of that before. Until I realized the other day, that's exactly why I do like it. I love the eerie execution of perfection that tingles my brain in a way that for someone else makes them feel uncomfortable. They're like, I need more floors. That is it. You're okay to have that perspective, but I'm comfortable in knowing I love it because of the simple, high, almost inhuman standard of execution. I don't think means it's any less artful, you know? People kind of go, no, because it's perfect, it has no soul, it's lost its artistic meaning, as though achieving that level of perfection is an art in itself as well. So anyway, that's where I stand on that. And I think with all the genres that K-pop touches on and references, and, you know, sometimes if it's not a black producer involved, or if there is, either way, it is there. It is there. We can't do shit about it. And your motivations for loving it is different. As long as you love it, but can still love it when the original people do it, we are cool. If you like it, then I show you another song by a black artist and you don't like it, we have a problem. And that, I feel like that has definitely happened before, where I have to kind of check some fans. It's like, oh, you don't care that I'm talking about this when it's coming from a black artist. But if this was one of your biases releases in this song from your groups, you'd be eating up. That's when I kind of feel like, there's a weird microaggression there. Which is also, that's my point of why I think black people should be in every space. Because people are going to do it whether we want it or not. But it's even worse if we're not there to check them. And we've seen it with many groups where they have a controversy or whatever. They've been pushed to apologize, have been pushed to learn and pushed to get to be better simply because the black fans are there holding them accountable. It's better to be in that space because, trust me, if you leave people to their own devices, it doesn't mean they're going to suddenly stop doing it. They're always going to do it. So unfortunately, that's the way it is. If in an ideal world, what would I want? Actually, let me ask myself that. What would make, which I'm sure would make some people who are willing to be combative hearing this, what do you not want? What do you not want? What do we want? I would like, firstly, appropriate credit, whether it's the idols themselves, if they ask, you know, talk about your song, what it's about. If you can say, and some of them, a lot of them, I feel like they do. They will reference, you know, the Afro movement. Irene did that with Like a Flower. After she saw Tyler in Korea, you know, they do reference these things really well, and some don't. But I think in an ideal world, let's start there. Let's start with having correct references and paying accurate dues to people, and also trying to work with as many black people as possible, I think, is a start. And secondly, I think culturally, but this happens in the West as well, culturally, if you're going to love and play our music, when tourists come and visit your country, you can't not let them into the club playing their music. That's fucking insane. That is insane to me. I didn't have that issue in the places that I went to, but I know, I think in places like Hongdae, which is like the uni place, I don't know, I've heard stories. And I just think that's really fucking weird. Don't play our music, because they'll be playing actual American hip hop, not their own kind of like take. No, it's American hip hop that you're hearing in those clubs, you know, like not letting black people in. However, in London, many Mayfair clubs do not let groups of black men in whilst they're playing Migos and whilst they're playing all these like mumble rap, Future and all these people. So in another way, I'm like, can we really be that upset when people that are closest to our struggle and had the biggest hand in it in our proximity are still doing those things to us here? Koreans are far away. Do they have more right to be ignorant? No, of course not. But do you know what I mean? My perspective is, can I even be bothered to stay that mad when our own white people still do that here? So absolutely, that shouldn't be the case. But I've shockingly feel like I've seen more accountability from K-pop labels and K-pop artists when they've been checked than I've seen from Western artists who've appropriated and gotten away with it, and they've kind of just dipped and just done whatever they want. So it's hard, man. It is hard out here. But to get back to my point, I basically want to just go through some of my favorites and kind of discuss why. Just for you guys to hear some examples if you've never heard these songs before. You know, you might add them to your playlist, whatever. And also another side of it, which I've never really discussed publicly as well, is that I feel like a lot of people that have an issue with the appropriation wouldn't have an issue if white groups were doing it. And that's a whole other layer to it. Oh, I'm talking today. Shit, let me shut up. But I think there's a bit of xenophobia in the fact that Koreans are doing this because they don't have as much heat for when white people do it. There's a sense of, oh my God, they're doing it. It looks cool. But there's a sense of, oh, why are Koreans doing it? Because once again, the cultural distance is greater. But that is just an objection of, you know, observation I've seen that I'm like, I'm not seeing you lot trying to be as vexed. But anyway, I don't have a ball in this fight. What is the saying? I'm just here for the good music. You lot tussle, it's a tussle. Like I've already said, I've given up. If you can't beat them, join them. And I have joined. I've had dinner there and I'm actually running for mayor. I've really joined. Right. So one of the groups who I think have done Afrobeats or Afro-influenced songs very well are TXT. Now, I do have a point to make after I've shown you these songs because I do have an issue with another part of the execution of Afrobeats and K-pop. But anyway, this is one of my favorite songs. I'll play from the start, we'll go and until after the first chorus. This is The Killer. I feel like I've got a radio show, I love this. Welcome to Marcus K Spot. You're listening now on 99.4 FM. That is too good not to be produced by someone black, right? And that is Ebi, one of the producers. He is black. And I can feel like you can feel more of the influence in that. I'm like, nah, that is, it's too good. It's too smooth. The harmonies are too beautiful. And it's not even the full song, the full members. It's a subunit song between two of the members. So it's not all five of TXT. But if you enjoyed that one, it is called The Killer by TXT. And another one which just came out recently, this is more Amapiano riff influenced. Is that the core? And this is, I'm like, is it the choreo or is it actual music Amapiano? Because sometimes, you know, experiencing both, you can kind of get lost in what is which is which. But no, I would say this is more Afrobeats influence with the Amapiano choreography. Right, yeah, this is Like a Flower. Right, as you can tell, yeah, once again, another, but you know, it's a bit on the softer side, but beautiful song nonetheless. I couldn't really see, I mean, I can see the producers for the people who are watching it as well. You can see me trying to search up people's names. JC Dawn, that sounds black as hell. JC Dawn, let me see what you look like. Yeah, black. There's a black. Because, yeah, there we go. So another black producer for that song as well. And he's also worked with DaBaby. Yuck. Anyway, on to the next song. Let's do TWS this time, which is a group that I initially loathed when they debuted. I didn't like their sound. And then they came back with this and I was like, oh, hold up a minute. This is Last Festival. Now, when they released that, I said, hold the fuck on. Because that one, so that one is a bit more amapiano. You can hear the, you know, the amapiano beat that we all like. I just don't like doing stuff like that, guys. I want someone to do it for me. Just give me everything I should say. Okay, let me look at the producer list. Fuck me. But yeah, once again, that song, I just think the production, the amapiano influence is a little bit softer, but it serves such a nice, beautiful flow. And what I like as well, in unlike the R&B or hip-hop adjacent K-pop songs, with the amapiano or Afrobeat kind of songs, the melodies and the pronunciations and the lyrics per se do not sound mimicky. It still feels like, oh, maybe that's why I accept it more as well, because I'll get into hip-hop in a second, but I think I accept the influence a little bit more because it doesn't feel as assault, as such an assault to the ears, whereas when I hear more the R&B or hip-hop stuff, it feels too, the mimic energy just gets a bit too strong for me. And I'm like, I'm not enjoying this, especially with the rap. There's not a single, you don't know. I don't listen to rap in the West anyway, because my ears do not care for lyrics. So, and that's what rap and MCing is about. It's all about, oh my God, look at what he's saying, what they're saying about this. I'm like, I don't care. I need a pretty melody. That's what gets me. So, I find that with the hip-hop stuff, I get a little bit like, oh God, you're trying to sound like J. Cole, or you're trying to sound like, I don't know, Kendrick, and it just puts me off. Whereas with these songs, the melodies and the words are still very Korean to me, so then I get to enjoy it more. It feels more like a authentic take on it. The beat just happens to be influenced by, you know, what's popular at the moment. Okay, let me see who the producers are. The primary producer is Han Song Soo. That is not a black name. Additionally, Junjin contributed to the song as producer. Okay, there may be other producers listed, but not on that one. Next, which is one of Kelechi's favorites, is Spell by 17.
Ocean view. May I give it to you?
I need to skip to the chorus because you don't need to hear the chorus. Now, I know I just mentioned that with these, you don't really hear anything that sounds a little bit like mimicky, but I would say Spell is the only one that comes close to that with that part. Like that sounds like it could be an African language. And funny enough, is they just made up those words, which I think is a smart way to kind of like reference how it could sound, but then also not actually mimic anything. But once again, a beautiful song, wasn't expecting that. Just a little segue as well sonically here, one of the biggest songs that we've had this year, which is Jenny Like Jenny, which will touch on a point I'm about to make. This song, I think the choreo is absolutely more I'm a piano afro, kind of those afro moves are the dominant part of the choreo, but sonically it has a bit more Brazilian funk as opposed to afro beat. But I'll let you listen to it anyway because it's a hit and I want to listen to music.
Come on, it's gonna be fucking hard.
But then again, that beat also sounds, it still sounds African. Once at the end of the day, Brazil has the highest number of black people outside of Africa. I'm pretty sure that's correct. I thought, because I remember thinking, shouldn't that be America? I don't think it is. But anyway, so naturally, from the slave trade, the influence of African music is still in there in the Brazilian funk. So you could argue it's still a little bit Afro influence. Have you ever met Jenny though? No, she fucking ate that. Oh my god, like Jenny eats. Okay, and the last in this showcase of, you know, I love doing this. Showing music is so much more fun. No shit, it's what I built my whole fucking channel on. But anyway, last we're going back to TXT, who once again, and they also have another song which is Afrobeats. They do a lot of Afrobeat songs. Excuse me, and I've not actually checked what the producers are, but well, actually, let me check with these. This is Love Language. This just came out like 5 minutes ago. That's Love Language, a hit as well. So musically, where I stand with K-pop and Afrobeat / I'm a piano influence, I don't have much of an issue with, for reasons I've explained prior. If you have an issue with it, I get it as well. That's another thing. I'm not here to fight anyone or convince you otherwise. I'm here to present how I feel. If it makes you feel uncomfortable, listen to something else. There's so many other podcasts on here, but how you retaliate against me won't change my opinion. It'll just irritate me, which I will make sure I'll send that energy back to you to irritate you as well. But, you know, everyone's allowed to feel how they feel. But if you go and listen to other people's opinions and get annoyed by it, that is a certain level of mental illness they've not diagnosed yet. Don't do that. Anyway, I think what does bother me with, and it bothers me greatly about the Afrobeats and stuff in K-pop or Afro influence, whatever, is the choreography. A lot of the times, if you see a lot of my reactions to Love Language, to Last Festival, the TWS song, to Irene, Like a Flower, I think I've pretty much said it for all of them, besides 17 actually, is if you are going to dabble in to this music and show your quote-unquote appreciation, you need to honor that with choreography that matches the feeling that you get from that, from this music and how the originators do it. But then once again, maybe you just can't, because it's something that is so innate. But I do think there's a certain freedom and relaxation that you need when you dance to this music, because when we do it, most of the times when black people are dancing, there's a certain freedom to it, which I know is almost the antithesis of what K-pop is, since it's all about regimen and being rigid and being structured and being perfect. But we've seen others that could do it. B.I. with Bitter Bitter, he did those house moves and it worked so well with that song, which definitely has. Oh, I forgot that as well, actually. Sorry, let me throw that in real quick. Promo B.I. He made the movement fluid and it works. The movement doesn't have to be Afro, it could be anything else, but I think you should honor the genre and move to it in a way that matches the essence of the song. Let me just play this song quickly. You bring the demon out of me, blame it all on your body. We might be an hour late, we ain't got no time to waste. 꿈을 꾸는 기분이야, 잡은 손을 놓지 마. 내 일은 안 중요해, 이 순간을 몰입해. Oh, I got plenty, I'm sitting more, but I feel there ain't many. Sitting when it rains, so I'm slow and I'm steady. We can't move this slow on a belly. Oh, say you need a true love, someone to kiss and hug. Get you feeling for some touch, ain't. I could be all day and above, I just hope that I'm enough, cause I don't ever do this. When my eyes are on you, so I care the touch on you. Oh, you know you get me loose, make me go bitter, bitter. I dance for me for two, that I even on you. Oh, it's only me and you, make me go bitter, bitter. And for the people watching the reaction as well, you can see the choreo from that. It's just so beautiful. So yeah, I think that's my biggest gripe. The choreo needs to have some sort of feeling. Choreo less. It's not about they're going to have to try to move like black people. No. Give them less choreo and let them actually enjoy the movement in a way that matches the song. I think that would do wonders. But yeah, also to summon this up as well, I would love more of these labels to bring black idols to debut, you know. It's fine, you can start with the biracial one. Let's not shock the Koreans too much, but I think it could happen. You know, we have Manon already, we have Lara who's Indian, so at least you need to get used to melanin. But and I know they're a global group, but still, we can start somewhere, because it would be great to really show the beauty of, if you really want to have a cultural exchange, let's exchange it fairly. Put more black people on who have helped build and given you the framework for your entire genre. Isuman will tell you that himself. He watched Motown and that's what influenced him to create the training system, which is a shame because in the West, they've stopped doing that. So that's another thing as well. If you stop doing something, someone else is going to pick it up. Pick it up if it bothers you. And and yeah, anyway, considering I was in such a sour mood today, I really enjoyed recording today's episodes a lot. And I'm really so glad I've started doing this. And I hope you guys enjoy it as much as I did. Anyway, that ends today's episode. If you like any of those songs, please also let me know in the comments. Rate as well. Let me know which ones you've saved. And yeah, until the next time. Wait, do I have something else I want to say? I think it's coming to me. I think I'll say this as well. I love my blackness and my Africanness and who I am so much that how I perceive how it's used elsewhere doesn't take it away from me. If I listen to K-pop and I love it, it doesn't make me any less black. If I'm with a white person or if an Asian person, it doesn't make me any less black, because my blackness is not just blackness on a shallow level. It is who I am. I'm African. So that's another thing as well, maybe people need to hear, is that, you know, don't be cornered into black people do this, you know, do things because you want to do them, indulge in what you want to indulge in, because most of the people who are throwing these judgments at you also have things to partake in that are not healthy. Your blackness is not for sale, unless you're selling it, that's different. But, you know, indulge in what you want to indulge in. Life is too short to think about how people perceive you from it, because at the end of the day, you still are who you are. And I still am who I am. So, yeah, I'll end it there. Peace.